verse 14 through the end of the chapter 21. And, please bear with me as I try to get us through this. While we're looking for that verse, let me open up in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father and loving God, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Thank You for this ministry of reconciliation that we're going to be going over. And Lord, just thank You for the privilege to be able to get up here and speak and proclaim Your gospel to fellow saints. And we're just thankful to You, our Savior, that what You've accomplished on the cross on our behalf has accomplished all this. And, we just thank You for that in our Savior's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I push the red button. Is that the end or stop? So start as red or end? Okay, let me read the verses. The text is, like I said, from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 to 21. You read along with me as I read. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all sinned, all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him," that God has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's going to be our context that we're going to go over. If we start at verse 4, I tell you what, I've got a lot of notes and a lot of scribbling that honestly I don't know how to... I've got it in my mind. So just, it starts with the love, verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ. You know, we could talk about the love of Christ almost forever until the rapture. Like Beth says, love is what? It's a grace word. Yeah. Anyway, I like that. But so we'll go ahead and look at some other verses. Let me just get, I've got a lot of paperwork. For 3 or 4 days at night, I tell you what, if you want insomnia, because all these verses go through your mind as you just can't sleep. I mean, you know, when it talks about to wit, is that God was reconciling the world unto himself and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation, that's all of Pauline doctrine. Is reconciliation, how God is reconciling the world unto himself. Why do we need to be reconciled to God? Yeah, we've become, since Adam fell, sin entered, so that's enmity against God. And so that's why we need to be reconciled to God. But let's first, I'm going to go through the verses kind of, and then I'll kind of conclude at the end. But if we go to talking about the love of God, go to Romans 5, verse 8. Always hold 2 Thessalonians 5 because we're going to just be flipping. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry. I'll slow down. I'll breathe. But if we'll just go ahead and hold 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in one hand and then flip over to Romans 5, verse 8. it talks about the love of God. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, it says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. When you read first verse 8, and flip over to 2 Corinthians, hold them both, but you know, that first verse, verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 8 talks about the love of God, and it talks that Christ died for us. So that just kind of goes over verse 8 or 14. Verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 15, it says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So he died for they which live. The they that live are us, the members of the body of Christ. We have the life of God in him. I've got Romans 14. Verse 7, and I probably should have went over a lot of these verses a little bit more, but it just, 14 verse 7, and that's just, it says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we're the Lord. So that's when you've been reconciled to God, we're the Lord's, whether we live or whether we die. Verse 16, it says, wherefore henceforth no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Why don't we know the Lord? We do know the Lord in the flesh through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was in Jerusalem. He was in the synagogue. He was all over. But we don't know him in the flesh, because if you flip to Romans 9, verse 4 and 5, you know, when you read Matthew 20, it says that Jesus Christ came into the world. He says he's not sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says he came into the world to die for many. Many is not all that we read about here in 2 Corinthians. So the reason we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh is because if you flip to Romans 9, verse 4 and 5, this is the Apostle Paul talking about chapter 9, 10, 11 is dispensationally, or 9, 10, 11 is what about the nation of Israel? And Paul says in verse 4, it says, who are Israelites who pertain at the adoption, the glory, the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless it forever. Christ came for the nation of Israel. He didn't come for the Gentiles. Matter of fact, if you want to flip just a couple pages to the left there, go to Romans 1. If you want to start at Romans 1, this is talking about the Gentiles. That's who we were. If Romans 1:21 says, hopefully everyone's there with me. It says, because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither was thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like unto corruptible man, into birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up. That's where you see, he gave you up there, them there. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up. That's the Gentiles. And then when you read to verse 28, And even as they, the Gentiles, did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things. He just turned them up, gave them over. If you turn to chapter 3 of Romans, we see here that in Romans 1, they gave up, God gave up the Gentiles. When you turn to chapter 3, it says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision? He says much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. And then, when you read down just a little bit, they try to make a deal with God. They try to say, so what if some of us did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? What's the answer? God forbid. That's it. No. And so they try to reason with God why God should still justify there. But when, by the time you get down to verse 9, it says, what then? Are we better than they? Are we Gentiles better, or the Jews better than them Gentiles? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together, altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So God concludes both Jew and Gentile in sin. And all of them under sin. That's the enmity between God and man. So that was verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, we know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you see, you got Romans. Go to Romans 1. This is how we're to know our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1, verse 3. We don't. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He was in the flesh, we don't know Him when He was in the manger. We're not to worship anybody in a manger or even when He walked on the earth. This is how we know our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. It says, verse 3, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's how we in the dispensation of grace is to know the Lord Jesus Christ is the risen, ascended Lord, seated on the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Okay, that just lightly touched on verse 14. I'm sorry, 16. So then it goes to verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, is that a good place to be? Yeah, the only place to be. He is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. If we look at that one new man, let's just put the Ephesians 13 and 15. Ephesians 2. But if you want to just, while you're there, let's go to Ephesians 2 verse 11. This is talking where, about the Gentiles. It says, well, if you want to go over to verse 13 of Ephesians 1, this is exciting. It says, it's talking about us, that trusted in Christ. It says, in whom ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We got saved a different way than the nation of Israel. This is the gospel of our salvation, which was totally different than the nation of Israel. If you go to chapter 2, verse 11, it says, wherefore remember that being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants and promise, and having no hope and without God in the world. That was where we were naturally. We were without hope and without God in the world. So God went ahead and made that one new man a different way, and it's through that reconciliation between God and man by breaking down that enmity that was against us so that we can have fellowship with God. Okay. I'm going to see where I am at back here. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, grab Colossians 3, verse 10. It talks about one new... Let's see. I didn't finish the rest of Ephesians there where it talks about the one new man. But grab Colossians and Ephesians 2. Did I say Colossians 1? Yes. I'm in Romans. My text was here, and God was in Christ. No. It was, I'm sorry, Colossians 3:10. And Ephesians 2. Let me just read down the rest of Ephesians 2. Starting at verse 13. Hopefully not everybody's confused. I'm trying to, I've got it in my mind, but it's hard for me to get it across to you people. Look at verse, chapter 2 of Ephesians, starting at verse 13. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." That is through the atonement between God and man. Was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For he is our peace, who has broken down both, who has made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man." So that's one new man, so making peace. "And that he might reconcile both," that's both Jew and Gentile, "unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you which were afar off," that's the Gentiles, "and to them that were nigh," that's the Jews. Therefore, look at verse 19, "Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, of the household of God." Okay. So, you've still got 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, Colossians 3, verse 10. I'm sorry. Chapter 3, verse 10 says, "And have put on the new man," this is that one new man, "which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." That's 2 Corinthians 5. You've got 2 Corinthians in one hand, hopefully still. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. The one new man. Oh, that's 17, yeah. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," that's that one new man there that he talks about in Colossians 3, verse 10. If you look at Colossians 1, verse 14, and we're talking, our subject is redemption, the ministry of reconciliation, is what our topic is. It says, verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Look at verse 20 of Colossians 1, 20, and it says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. I say whether they be things in heaven, in earth, or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Okay. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Okay. We'll go back to 2 Thessalonians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The next verse, okay, or verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us. We just got done reading that in Colossians. We've been reconciled to Him and unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. The us in the verse is us, the believers. When you've been reconciled to God, then He gives you the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is, to wit, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word reconciliation is the means by which you get reconciled to God. That's His offering to us, or that is His the plan is reconciliation. Okay, is what the plan would be. And it says, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He, that's God, hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So as we go over these, like I say, a lot of verses, and you could pick out just about any one word and give a whole study. I mean, John took the book of Ephesians, and first verse and first word in the book of Ephesians is Paul. And he that's the first time I've seen him get through only one word in an hour message. So either John felt confident that I know what I'm talking about, but I mean, a lot of verses. You can go to a conference or something, and several men would take just one or two verses and be able to have a whole lesson on that. But so there's a lot of verses there. You know, okay. So as we talk about, what is the evidence of reconciliation, that you've been reconciled to God? It'd be the cross of Christ. If you want to go to in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 2, is it 14? I don't know where I've got that. Let me look and see. I don't know why I've got that one. Let's go to the evidence would be the cross, and you and the cross, that's a personal the cross of Christ is something that you personally believe in. Let's go to Colossians 1:21. I know we were just there. I can just read it. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. If you want to go to Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. All of that was accomplished on the cross in our behalf. What is the aim of reconciliation? That aim, in other words, what's the purpose? He's forming that one new man. That's Rich. The means of reconciliation is by abolishing the law, the enmity. We read Romans 5, verse 8. Romans 3, verse 10, we had read that about the Jews, that now we understand that all are under sin, so that all can be justified. Okay, we also know that there's only one mediator between man and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus through the blood of His cross. Okay, so a lot of verses, a lot of stuff to go over. You know, in kind of concluding, You guys are going to have a big break. But if you flip to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll just kind of look at each verse there's in the ministry of reconciliation is something that God gives to a believer. That is now our ministry, but it's not for us to keep just for ourselves. It is given to us to give to somebody else so that they may be reconciled to God. So, look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away and all things are become new. What he does in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 is this ministry of reconciliation, what it does is it transforms a lost person that's in Adam into this new creature, which is that one new man. As when it does that, it also gives you a new stand or a new position as an ambassador. If you look at verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you. By us we pray, be ye reconciled. So not only does he, in verse 17, he transforms a person into that one new man, but he also gives you a position as an ambassador for him. It, that would be the law of commandments and that. Okay. The sacrifices. You know, there was a time when man had were reconciled to God, even under the law thing, but they were reconciled to God by offering, like you said, sacrifices, which was a temporary atonement for their sins, or forgiveness of their sins. It's the covering. Like John, you're right. Okay. If you look at the verse, it satisfies the justice of God. God, that iniquity, that enmity between man and God is no longer there because Christ nailed that to his cross. And we were. The enmity is now gone so that we can have fellowship with God. And the justice of God is for us at that time because of the enmity is no longer there. And if you look at the end of verse 19, the end of 19, it says, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, you know what? God is committed to this too, this ministry of reconciliation. So that's another point, that now the justice of God is for us. Another thing too, all of this comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's verse 17. If you look at verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ that does the reconciling between God and man. The verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So there we understand that by reading these verses, number one, we're transformed into that one new man, a member of the body of Christ for the heavenly purposes. It satisfies the justices of God because of the enmity and sin from the fall of Adam that was against us. It all comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the basis of all of it. Okay, if you read down to first of all, when he gets to the first part of 19, to wit that Christ was reconciling the world. So what we find by reading 19, that it's for everybody. It's the whole world. Both Jew and Gentile are reconciled to God. and it's for anyone, because that was the first verse. For the love of God constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we were all dead in our sins. So those are just a few points, not necessarily in order, but it transforms us into the one new man. It satisfies the justice of God. It's all through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for anyone in the whole world, both Jew and Gentile, any. It's for everyone, and God is committed to it. Okay, and therefore, now we're an ambassador. When you read down there verse 18, and has given unto us this ministry of reconciliation. That is given to us the moment you are reconciled to God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is something that is personally given to us, but not for us to keep and just keep to ourselves. It is given to us so that we can give it to somebody else, that they might be reconciled. That's when you read the last half of 20. It says, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's how being reconciled to God is. You get saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. We read that, and then it's every believer's ministry, right? And but not to keep, but to give to somebody else, so that we can give it to the others. Another thing that's really amazing about this ministry of reconciliation, it has an expiration date. It isn't going to be forever. I mean, it is going to end in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the dispensation of grace, while we're placed in the heavenly places, this offer of reconciliation is going to end. And has anybody got any questions or comments? John?
This is a real eye opener to me, because I've always thought that reconciliation is what my wife did to reject me.
That's true. That is true.
Nailed me.
Yeah. That's true, but you know what? In order for somebody to be reconciled, they had to have been together at one point. That was before the fall, when you reconcile husband and wife. And he talks about that. You know, Paul talks about that. He talks that, you know, when a family is reconciled back together through a divorce or a split or anything. Yes, Ken. This is. And God is committed to this now. That's the wonderful part of this, is that God is committed to it. And anybody else want to make a comment? Yes, Fred.
Yeah, in verse 20, that one phrase that says, in Christ dead. When I read that, it, you know, kind of gives me goosebumps, because when you read that, you realize what in that regard, we're representing Christ.
Yes. A high calling. Yes, I don't know if anybody heard that, but Fred had said that there in verse 20 that we are here as though God, that we are here in Christ's stead. Let's see, is that the verse 20? Yeah, we pray you in Christ's stead. You know, the first part of that, therefore we are ambassadors. That is the highest calling below the President of the United States. The very next highest position is an ambassador in a foreign country, is the highest position below the president in a foreign country. And that's who we are here on earth. We are in a foreign country. I had a lot of other verses that talked about this world, you know, and we are in a foreign country. Any other questions?
Always called home before the breakout war.
Right.
And that's our rapture.
Yes. So God chose a perfect word here when he... Yes, he did. Very good. As being an ambassador. Lord, can we close in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father and loving God, Lord, we're just thankful for this time to be able to read your word. Lord, might it have been halfway understandable that in the way I presented it as it is to you in your word. We just thank you for this privilege to be able to speak to other believers in this day of grace. Yes. Lord Jesus Christ, amen.